Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This is Laura Dierda with Becker's Healthcare, and I'm thrilled today to be joined by Anisha Sichter, Vice President of Payer Strategies at Valley's Health System in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Anisha, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks, Laura. I'm happy to be here.
Now, before we jump into the questions, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. So as you mentioned, I'm the Vice President of Payer Strategies at the Valley Health System. And in my role at Valley, I'm responsible for setting and executing the enterprise strategy for both the value-based and the fee-for-service contracting. So I kind of have both sides of the shop there. I also work to establish relationships with our payers and our employers to help position Valley as a high-value, high-quality provider in the market. Prior to joining Valley, I actually worked on the other side of the table. I worked at UnitedHealthcare, and I did network development and strategy for United in their New York City market. So I contracted on behalf of United with all of the academic medical centers and employed physician groups in Manhattan. And then prior to that, I actually worked at Ernst & Young as a healthcare consultant in their health services advisory practice.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it sounds like you have a wide array of experiences and perspectives to bring into the conversation. So I'm excited to hear from you. My first question is, how has Valley Health System's payer strategy changed in the past year?
So the strategy really hasn't changed specifically in the past year. However, with the financial pressures brought on with the pandemic, the desire to execute on our strategy has definitely intensified. Positioning Valley as an essential, high-value, and efficient provider in the market is still our strategy, and that has been for quite some time. However, the speed and the mechanics in which we're being forced to demonstrate that has all been amplified due to the changes brought about by COVID. So just for example, we recently, I would say back in late December of 2019, started to very softly roll out a telehealth initiative, and it was really just focused on our employees and dependents, not in the broader market. And, you know, 3 months later, with the impact of COVID, we had to really ramp that up, you know, and get that out there for our community patients. And you know, there was a bunch of different things happening at the same time. There was favorable reimbursement waivers in place. And, you know, it really was obviously a more cost-effective service. And from the payer's perspective, that's obviously very beneficial. So once those factors were in place, we really just quickly kind of ramped up that service. And that's a great example of sort of the intensity that has changed now with all of the changes brought about by the pandemic.
That's a great point. And I'm interested with your role in overseeing both the fee-for-service and the value-based contracts. I'm wondering, you know, has that mix shifted at all, or do you anticipate it's going to shift in the coming year or two?
I think so. I mean, I think what we definitely came out of the pandemic, and, you know, obviously we're still in it to some extent, but it's improving. I think, you know, one of the realizations was there is such a value provided by population health services, and you know, we were often the point of care for a lot of patients through telephonic access or telehealth access through video, asynchronous video and audio communications. You know, payers don't have the bandwidth nor really kind of the understanding of, you know, the day-to-day of where their patients are and what's going on with them. But I mean, we were alerted to, you know, every patient that had a COVID test, and we were able to reach out to them telephonically and kind of direct them and help navigate them in their next steps in care. So those are sort of the conversations, and that's sort of been more of the focus, I think, where payers are seeing a value. And on the fee-for-service side, I think, you know, they're obviously kind of still looking for cost containment strategies and things like that. But I think they're finally kind of coming to the realization that providers have a very strong ability to do and perform in a population health environment very well.
Got it. That makes sense. Now, when you're having conversations with payers, what does that look like today versus a year ago, you know, before the pandemic, or just, you know, right as that was beginning to occur?
So I think, you know, probably two major changes when I think about our conversations today versus a year ago. I think, first of all, there's been a general shift in the power dynamics with the payers. And really that's due to some recent regulations. And I'm specifically thinking about hospital price transparency and the No Surprises Act that was recently passed. In addition, I think COVID has really put a lot of financial pressure on the employer groups that utilize carriers for medical coverage. And so that has been then further passed down onto the payers and then further down onto the providers. So I think because of those pressures, there's sort of a more aggressive stance that payers have been taking with conversations with providers. I think the other piece of the conversation that has changed since last year is, like I said, the focus on population health. I think the payers are realizing the importance of supporting their providers, and they're, you know, kind of appreciating that they really are the frontline care providers for their subscribers, their members. And I think the desire to work hand in hand with providers on more population health initiatives to increase access to care, access to testing, screenings, mental health issues, you know, things along those lines have become apparent. And that's sort of more now, you know, what they're really focused on in terms of trying to have more collaboration and partnership on those types of initiatives.
That's great to hear. What are your top 2 to 3 challenges that you anticipate in the next 12 months?
So, I mean, I think for us, and again, you know, I go back to my earlier comment about payers getting more aggressive. I mean, there's definitely a sort of an atmosphere of them being a little bit more brazen in terms of the policies they're rolling out, and in their stances and negotiations. And for Valley, you know, we're an independent health system, and our biggest concern is really being boxed out of payers' products or their networks. And while it hasn't happened yet, you know, with the amount of M&A activity going on the health system side, in conjunction with all the vertical integration going on the payer side, it makes it a very realistic possibility that independent health systems and independent provider groups like Valley will at some point be irrelevant to the payers. And that's really concerning. I think the other big challenge or the other big sort of concern that we think about over the next 12 months is furthering our progress on the path to risk. And I think, you know, at some point, you know, they always kind of use the image of the person in the two canoes and it's, you know, about to tip over. And I think, you know, we've been riding the fee-for-service side for quite some time, and we have made a lot of progress on the value-based side as well. But at some point, you just really need to dive in. And I think, you know, reducing our costs more significantly, further investments in our population health infrastructure, and really just generally winning the organizational acceptance of taking this next step, this plunge, is going to be a significant challenge for the organization. It's something that, you know, everyone's aware of, but I think really just kind of ripping the Band-Aid off and taking that plunge is going to be a challenge for the organization.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. So really seeing a place where, you know, Valley View can have the contracts and really, you know, have leverage with the payers as much as possible, but at the same time, moving more towards the value-based care, more towards risk-based payments, while still keeping the health system running and financially secure.
Correct. Yeah.
Got it. All right. Well, the last question I have for you today is, what are you excited about for the future?
So, I mean, I think, you know, there's so much change going on. And while it's a little bit nerve-wracking from where I sit, I think this is an exciting time in healthcare. I mean, there's so much disruption right now going on and so many interesting, innovative players coming into the healthcare market that, you know, 10 years ago, it would have been unheard of to see some of the entrants that have populated the healthcare space. And I mean, honestly, you know, they bring a lot of knowledge, assets, new ideas. And I think, you know, everybody sort of has the idea that healthcare is inefficient and they have opportunities to improve it. And while I don't disagree, I'm just excited to kind of see how some of these new entrants improve healthcare and what their spin on healthcare is going to be. And, you know, when I think about healthcare in 10 years, I think the delivery of healthcare between, you know, the use of wearables, the amount of services being delivered at home, you know, the advances in genomics and things like that. I mean, it's really going to be, I think, just a very different healthcare delivery space than we're living in today. And I think, you know, I think 10 years, while it seems soon, I think it's quite realistic that we will start to see real change in that short amount of time.
Nisha, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. I really appreciate our discussion. I look forward to connecting with you again in the future.
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed our conversation as well.
If you enjoyed this interview, check out more just like it by subscribing to our Becker's Payer Issues podcast, available for download wherever you get your podcasts.